Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
We are now in the last parasha of Sefer Bamidbar, Parashat Mas'ei. And Parashat Mas'ei started with a description of the journeys that Am Yisrael had in the desert, and there are 42 of them. And one of the lessons is to understand, first of all, that it's not that Am Yisrael for the 40 years were going all the time. Because most of those trips were done in the first year. In other words, most of the time they were just settled in a certain place, and that's what it was. Now, why did they do all those journeys? There were a lot of explanations. And one of them is that Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that there is sparkles of holiness. And Am Yisrael were going around and gathering them. But we're not going to those philosophical things. The general idea is that all those places, things happen there. And they are really a lesson to us to learn what to do in a case that something happens to us. The Shlach HaKadosh and also a few others say that what the Parsha is really telling us is telling us the journeys that each one of us is going to do in this world. In other words, the Neshama comes out from up there, gets down to the earth, then the journey goes back again there, and this we learn from this interesting pasuk that is written like this. Ele mas'ei bnei Yisrael. Those are the journeys of Am Yisrael. And then it's written, Vayiktov Moshe, and Moses wrote, Motza'em lemasa'em, the place they went out to the place they went to the journey. Al pi Hashem, on the word of God. Ve'ele mas'em lemotza'em, and those are the journeys to the Motza'em. I don't know how is explaining Motza'em here. It's interesting to see. This is Pasuk 2.
I can't help you with Hebrew, sorry.
Yeah, what? They're going forth stage by stage by the commandment of the Lord, and these are their stages of their going forth. In other words, it's saying the same thing again, twice, which we all know that the Torah doesn't say things twice. And also there is this, unfortunately, as I knew, when you look in explanations, or translation, let's put it this way. It's very hard to translate exactly what's written, and unfortunately, a lot of the translators, they try to be to explain to us. Instead of translate what it's written, they try to give interpretation to what it's written. And in this case, also the same thing. Because in Hebrew, what is written is Motza'em le-Masa'em, Masa'em le-Motza'em. So there are two things written, but in a different way. Now, Motza'em, to explain it like in Hebrew, Motza is where you come from. Motza, that's it. You go out from some place. Masa'em is a journey, no problem. But
it's the origins of the journey.
Yes, but it starts from somewhere and it goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, then it's written, journeys le-Motza'em. What's Motza'em, you said? Where you came from. So it's very strange. The journey is where? To the same place you came from? We see this and we don't exactly understand what's going on here. So first of all, we want to understand what journey or what kind of journey we're talking about. Meaning, for example, if I'm going now to visit somebody in Jerusalem, or I have a function in Jerusalem, so the important thing here is I'm going to Jerusalem. Doesn't matter that I got out from Ra'anana. And the journey is also not important, because what is important is that I want to get to this wedding, for example. Exactly. Now, there are sometimes that I'm leaving a place. In other words, I lived in a terrible place and now I'm leaving it. So for me, it's not important where I'm going. For me, it's important that I left this horrible place. Or, for example, somebody is in jail. And when he comes out of jail, For him, what is important is that I got out of jail. It doesn't matter where he's going. The important thing is, I went out of jail. Then there is another kind of journey, which the journey is the important stuff. For example, I go for a tour. I go for a trip. And here, the important thing is, I want to walk in the woods. So it's not where I came from, or where I'm going to end this journey, but it is the journey itself, because I want to walk in nature. I want to enjoy water, the trees. So here the important thing is the journey itself. And sometimes everything is important. Where I cut out, the journey itself, and where I'm going. And this case is what we're talking here.
But it's also maybe not literal, maybe metaphorically, because you can be leaving from a bad place inside yourself and reach out to be a better person.
Yes, no problem, of course. As well, we say the physical world is connected to the spiritual world. So when we're talking being going out, getting out, it's also everything is a state of mind. It's how you feel. And this is exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the neshama. One of the explanations is that here we're talking about the neshama that comes out from heaven, goes through the journeys, 42 journeys each one of us has to do in this world, till we fix ourselves, and then we can go where? Back to heaven, but fixed. But fixed. In other words, the important thing is where we came from. The journey itself, of course, is important because we're fixing ourselves and preparing ourselves to the next stage, which is the next world. The next world is really going back to where we came from, to heaven. In other words, all of this is important. That's why the Torah is telling us, Motzaim lemasaim, Masaim lemotzaim. The important part is that I'm going out to a journey. And the journey is to get to a certain place, which is also important. And the journey itself, of course, is important. Now, it's interesting. It's called written Al Pi Hashem. This journey has to be done according to what God tells us to do. In other words, according to the Torah. If we do it this way, then we can fix ourselves and get to the destination, which is, again, the next world, in good shape. During this time, we have to fulfill our journeys. So they say those 42 journeys are, each one of us got a different journey. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. There are stages in life, for example, talking about the journey. When we get to this world, it's the first stage. Then there is a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, wedding, learning, university, normal school, whatever it is, work, a job, all of those are stages. Those are the journeys. Now, the problem is that we have to know how to deal with those journeys. So the Torah is telling us, those are the journeys. Learn those journeys. See what happened to Am Yisrael in the desert through those journeys, and you will learn how to cope. One of the biggest problems in life is the influence of those that we live with, the influence of society on us. And while we do those journeys, we are going not alone, we are with other people. And if those people are good people, it's going to have a good influence on us. But if those people are bad people, they're going to have a bad influence on us. In other words, we have to understand that the best way is to find good friends. And with those good friends, to do those journeys. It's like when you go on a journey, you want to be with a good friend, not with somebody villain or whatever. So, working at that stage and going through life, we need to have good friends with us. And sometimes, unfortunately, we get to places. We heard this week, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible to talk about it. On a parking place, a guy takes a gun and kills the other guy. This is, it's not to believe that it happens where? In Eretz HaKodesh, in Eretz Israel. And it starts from the way they drive. Everybody thinks, I own the road. It's me and nobody else. And this is what the Torah is trying to tell us. Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. We are on a journey here. So, unfortunately, when we live in a society that doesn't care about law, that doesn't care about
morality
that doesn't care about life, we have a problem.
I just want to quickly say something. A woman whom I've known for a long time says to me, it's okay, a Jewish woman who's very Jewish, she's secular, but she's got very, very Jewish values, and she says to me, it's okay to be gay. And I cried bitter tears over that. It was such a big shock for me that she said that to me, that I was crying very, very bitter tears.
It's unfortunate. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The influence is that we get to a point that we think that certain things that we thought, let's say, 50 years ago, that they are definitely wrong, suddenly because, okay, you know, everybody's doing it, so, you know, talking about, for example, advertisement. In old times, if they had a nude girl in an advertisement, there was a whole big thing. Today, okay, we're going on. It's not the only thing, a lot of other things. We get used to it. Look the way people go in the street. You know, I found in a paper once a letter that was written, I think, 60 years ago, if not more, and in Tel Aviv. And the letter was written like, we urge all the people that go to the sea, to the beach, to be dressed properly and not going with swimming suit in our streets. Who do you think wrote this letter? The Rav?
A regular person.
The area.
The mayor.
The mayor. He wrote this, and it wasn't a religious guy at all. But we had different values. And you see, unfortunately, you know, people don't realize it. We get to a stage that what was wrong, wrong with no doubt, today we even don't doubt it. We accept it.
Because we believe that
you're immune to your own moral thoughts.
Ele masei bnei Yisrael. That's exactly the idea.
I think a lot of us believe that the path in this life should be for happiness. And what makes you happy is okay, as long as you're happy.
You're absolutely right. God, by the way, no, it's very interesting what you're saying. The Mesilat Yisrael wrote that we came to this world le'itaneg, to have joy. Not gay, to have joy, okay? Because today you have to be very careful what you're saying, you know? It can be translated to a lot of other things. To have joy, but what joy? Le'itaneg al Hashem. Joy being with God. In other words, God doesn't want us to suffer in this world. God wants us to be happy. But He wants a real happiness. And believe me, all those nonsense, they are not real. Because, you know, after you do them and you laugh and you realize what you've done, you feel bad. But when you go in the way of God and you do something really good, how do you feel?
Great.
And you're happy. And that's exactly that. Yes, you should be happy, but real happiness. That's exactly what is truth and what is lie. What is light and what is darkness? Some people think that the darkness is light. What can you do to them? Some people put those glasses that are virtual reality and they see whatever they want to see. But the real truth is whether they are sitting near a table. And you can put everything in it. So yes, you should be happy, but in the right way. And a real happiness. And a real happiness is only a spiritual happiness. You have to understand it. There is no physical happiness. It's like, I had an argument with my wife, and I said, the Rav Dessler says that the real joy and happiness in this life is a spiritual one. All other joys and happiness are vain. They are nothing.
Vain.
If you think about it, let's say I bought a new car, a beautiful car. One day, 2 days, four, a week, 2 weeks, I enjoy it. But what's happening after half a year?
You get used to it.
I get used to it. But if I learn something that fulfills my soul, what do I feel?
It stays with me
and it grows.
I just want to quickly say, true happiness and true liberty is self-control. Not being a slave of your instincts. That's true happiness and that's true.
Otherwise,
freedom.
You're an animal.
Otherwise, you're an animal. That's the same thing. You go on in your instincts, you're an animal. And this is what we have to learn. Those journeys that are here, not that they're telling us, you have a journey, you're coming from somewhere and you're going somewhere. You have to take it in your mind. This world is only a journey. Realize it. And there are stops in this journey. And let's make sure that we're making this journey the best way we can. Because otherwise, we will be in a big problem. Now, to understand a little more that about getting out and coming to a place, it's like this father had a son. He remarried. And the new wife didn't exactly love the child that he had from the marriage before. It's like in the stories. And they really had a lot of tension between them. And the child grew up, and the father loves him a lot. And he got to the time where he can get married. So his father was traveling a long time, and he found a place far away, a very nice family that had a nice girl, beautiful girl, good girl, everything you want for your son. So he got back to his son, he says, Baruch Hashem, I found you a shidduch. Unbelievable shidduch. 2 days, 3 days, we're going there. So they take a taxi to get to this place, a taxi or whatever. And on the way, the sun is looking all the time through the rear window that is getting far away. He says, how far did we get from home? And his father is asking, how long is it going to be till we get to the other place? So the son is asking him, why do you asking when we're going to get to this place? And I look at it in a different way. For me, it's important to get away. He says, because you, the important thing for you is to get away from, not nice to say, from your mother, that is not your real mother, and you didn't have good relation with her. So for you, the more you get away, you're happier. For me, I know what's waiting for you there. And there, she's waiting for you, this beautiful girl, good girl. You're going to have a good home, and you're going to build a Jewish home, a proper home. So I'm waiting for you to get there. For me, it's important where you're going. So in other words, it's also how I look at things. Because every coin, they say, has two sides. And this is exactly in life, you know. We have to look at life and understand that there is a purpose. We're not here for no purpose. Now, if you lose your purpose, then you do all those things you see around. If you don't believe in the next world, then you do what's happening here. I say, just this morning I was talking about the way to look at things. Because when we look at what happened to us, for example, Joseph was a slave. Who could imagine that this slave is going to be a king one day? Could somebody imagine this? So God is telling him, could you imagine it? I did, I'm there. Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown to the river, this poor baby, a Jewish baby, when there is a gzerah that all the male babies from the Jews are going to be killed, drowned in the river, in the Yaor. What are the chances that this little crying kid is going to be
the
prophet that takes us out of Egypt and the second in command in Egypt at a certain time? Who would think? Who would think that Avram and Sarah, at their age, will bring a child to this world after all those years they didn't? Who would believe it? Nobody. Who would believe that Ruth, this Moavian, from a nation that we hate and we don't want to be connected to them at all, to the point that they are not allowed to be a part of Am Yisrael, the male, afterwards. But from this nation, we will have David HaMelech. Who could imagine this? In other words, we see that God is behind everything. And with all whatever God promises, He delivers.
Be prepared.
Yes. And this is now the question to us. Who would believe that this nation that was tortured in so many ways would exist so many years? Who would believe, and who believes that the Geula will come? Who believes that the Mashiach is going to come? Who believes?
Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't.
So that's exactly why we have to get the strength. You see, whatever God promises, He delivers. So the question is, why? Why is He doing it this way? Why do we have to suffer so much? Why is He not bringing the Geula right now on the spot? Why? And that's exactly the point. Not only we're not ready, we don't believe enough. He wants us to believe. And believe is not when everything is good and going in the way it should go according to your state of mind. No. To believe that if God promises, He's going to deliver. You just look back. You see what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. See what happened with Joseph. See what happened in Avram and Sarah. See what happened with Ruth and Moabiah. See what happened with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu also. He gets to Laban with nothing. When he comes back, he's a multimillionaire. He's got everything. Who would believe this?
Like the Holocaust. Look what we've got now.
So in other words, God works, we say God works in mysterious ways. We don't understand these ways, but we must believe. And believing that the Geula comes, it's not hope. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. They're going to ask you, when you come to heaven, going to ask you, did you believe that the Mashiach will come? And the answer should be yes. So if you don't believe, strengthen your emunah. Because this is the reason God is giving it in the last minute. Why? Because He wants to see us believing. And when our belief is going to come to the right level, then the Mashiach will come. B'merabi amenu amen. So it's a big lesson to us. Because as I said before, we're going on those journeys. And the people around us are not always nice people. They're not always behaving in a proper way. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's got an influence on us. Because we live in an environment, a certain environment that has certain influence on us. If something is mekubala, how do you say, that's everybody is doing it. So even if you didn't do it, it can happen. And for example, let's look at politics. You know, sometimes very good people go there. But you meet them a year later, and you meet a different person. He says, what happened? You had all those brilliant ideas, you promised all those things, and sometimes they even think to deliver. Sometimes, no? There are those who don't even think to deliver, but I'm not talking about those. Let's talk about the good people. But unfortunately, when you get to a place where everything is corrupt, you don't make the difference. So sometimes I say that God is bringing us to an extreme to understand and realize that we don't see things in the proper way. That's why, for example, when this lady comes to you and tells you that gay is okay, this is a red light. This is showing us where it can get. It can get to a point that people will take the Torah and do whatever they want with it and tell us that that's the right way. And this is absurd. Because certain things are written very clearly in the Torah that you're not allowed to do that. And we talked about it not once and not twice. Everybody has urges, everybody has desires, everybody wants to do certain things. And sometimes it does. And sometimes those things are not allowed by the Torah. Okay. But as long as you know that it's not allowed and you're doing something, and it doesn't matter if it's nature. Even if it's nature, so what? So if it's nature, I can do whatever I want. We all know that if we do whatever I want, as you said before, it's like going, who is controlling us? Our desires. In other words, we are not free. We are slaves to our desires. And what's the end of it? Believe me, you see it. Everybody who doesn't go in the right way and think that it can enjoy life and do whatever he wants, what's the end of it? Illnesses, diseases, depression.
It's a epidemic.
Do you know that today, it's unbelievable. There are people that have a weekly appointment with a psychologist. And they are not poor people. And they are not stupid people. Clever people, rich people, why do they need a weekly appointment with a psychologist? Or sometimes a psychiatrist, I'm not talking about those. You tell me. He's got everything. He's got nothing. As we said before, that the real joy and the real happiness is a spiritual one. Otherwise, there is nothing. So you can have, you can possess millions. And you can have a beautiful house and beautiful cars and beautiful food and beautiful clothes, everything. But at the end of the day,
you're not happy.
If inside there is nothing, you always have another worry and another worry, and you're not satisfied from nothing. But somebody who goes with the ways of the Torah, he finds satisfaction, real satisfaction. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for real satisfaction, not something that looks from the outside beautiful and the inside there is nothing. So our parsha, we talked about it last week, but we're talking in this week. For 2 minutes, we'll talk about it also. That about building those refuge cities for those who kill by mistake. And here is also a big lesson, because to understand and realize, when we talk about killing by mistake, what does it mean? We talked about it in the past, but it's it's the same thing. We are living in an environment that unfortunately doesn't care about the law. And especially when we go on the road, they don't care about red light, orange light. They don't care about pavement, about roads. They don't care about blinking. They don't care about nothing. And unfortunately, this leads us to this problem of killing people by mistake, not intentionally. But that's exactly the problem. If you don't understand and realize that you have to do what the law tells you to do. What is killing by mistake? So the Gemara explained there are 3 stages. There is a stage, let's say for example, I always give this example, Ahuza. You all know Ahuza Street. I'm going with a car. You're allowed to go in Ahuza 50 kilometers. But if you go in the middle of town, you cannot go 50, I must say. You have to go sometimes 30 and even 20, because otherwise it will end in an accident. So let's imagine to yourself somebody is going in Ahuza at 100 miles an hour. And he killed somebody by mistake. Is this a mistake?
No.
Is this killing by mistake?
No.
This is mezid. This is killing intentionally. Oh, I didn't have any. You didn't have any intention. Why did you drive 100 kilometers an hour? If you arrive this way, it means you were a killer. So you, he cannot go to the Yom Kippur.
Yes, I was just wondering where to report to the U.S. There's somebody with a motorcycling howling around, and you know, to about 1 o'clock in the morning,
yes.
He starts up. In where I live, you could, and he's obviously driving at abnormal speed, speeding with his motorcycle. It's howling around.
This is also.
Yeah.
It just happened to me this morning. I walk very early in the morning.
Yes.
So I was going on a crossing a road, and a car came out. It didn't even look at me, because he thought in that hour nobody is walking on the street.
Exactly.
And if nobody's walking on the street, I can go. But I must say, when he suddenly realized that I was there, he says, sorry, excuse me. But if I wouldn't have stopped, he would have hit me. So in other words, being careful, it depends, there is a level. When we take somebody is killing by mistake, the mistake means that it was a mistake that you take precautions, but not enough. But if you didn't take any precautions, that is not killing by mistake. From the other side, let's imagine how somebody going not on 30 kilometers an hour in Ahuza, he goes on 10. And somebody jumps on the car. Is this killing by mistake?
Yeah.
That's not, he didn't have anything to do. He did all, he took everything he could. He did all. He was going on 10, he was careful, he was looking, but somebody jumps on his car, what can he do? So in this case, he also doesn't go to Il Miklat. He is free, because this is honest. This is not accident. So who is going to Il Miklat? Who is going to this place? Somebody, for example, that went on 40, which you allowed 50, but okay, so that he went on 40, and he still hit somebody. He didn't have enough... break or whatever. In this case, where there is a doubt that he did what he had to do in a certain way, but he was not careful enough. Because if he was careful enough, it wouldn't happen. It's not a reward to go to Yer Miklat. You have to understand. It's not a reward. Because he has to stay there. He has to leave his home, leave his family, and stay in this place till the Kohen Agadol dies. It can be years. So it's not a reward. It's saving him because he didn't have... he didn't want to kill anybody, and he was careful, but not enough. So in other words, the lesson is that's also not enough. That if you want to be a good person, if you want to go to the journey, as we said, in a proper way, don't let the state of the attitude of the people around us influence you. Don't be one of those that because everybody goes like this, so I'm going to do it also. It's very hard, I must say, because sometimes we also do the same thing. But we have to take it in our mind that it's not right, it's wrong, and maybe fix it a little at least. So be careful when you go on the road. And it's not only the road. I took a road as an example. It's a lot of other things.
The pavements now with the electric.
No, you go in Bnei Barak and you see what's happening with the pavements. They go on the road and you have to be very careful. And that's also, it's nishmartem me'od nafshotachem. It's wrong.
People walk across with their phones. They don't even look.
Exactly.
I was taught in England at school, you stop at the curb, you look right, you look left and right again.
They teach it also here. Yes, it doesn't look like it, but they teach it also here. So but that's what I'm talking about. So unfortunately, that when you live in a society that behaves in a certain way, it has an influence on you. That's what the Torah is telling us. Ele mas'ei bnei Yisrael, look and learn. Learn that you have a journey. And the journey is going to have certain stages. And you have to be careful not to be influenced by the wrong side. Be influenced by the good side. And even if you go on a journey and you get to places where, you know, some people will round the corners, as we say, be careful. Don't do it. Because if you want to finish the journey in the proper way and get to the right place, you have to do the journey al pi Hashem. What God is telling us to do. Not what this mayor or this factory or those people or all those Michiganers that go in the streets and do whatever they want to. Bezrat Hashem, if we do it in the proper way, we do our journey in the right way and understand and realize, believe that God, whatever He promises, is going to deliver. So even if sometimes it looks dark, don't worry. The light is going to come. And Bezrat Hashem, if we do our way, al pi Hashem, we will find our right way and the Geula will come. B'mirah b'yameinu, amen.
But it's hard to swim against the tide.